How are we doing, church? Family, brothers and sisters, friends, great. I'm great. Brittany's pretty aight. No, it's good. It's good to be here. Who's enjoying all this rain? Get that hand down, Adam. Fran says yes. Good. We have had a lot of rain. Unfortunately, again, it's Sunday and it's raining, so our potluck is not going to happen. But I have heard that there will be some pickleball down at the park after. So if you want to come hang out with us in between the raindrops, we will be at Niwa Park. I think it's going to be pretty okay. So that's what we're going to do. So it's good to be here. It's so good to be amongst family. I love it. And we are going to continue our series on the gifts of the Spirit, gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to each and every person to equip us corporately to become the body of Christ. Amen. See, we're not here all trying to do our own little thing. He gives us the giftings that we need to do His will and His mission. And as I look around, today's a good day because we've got a lot of servants and we've got a lot of helpers here. And we've gone through the gift of evangelism. We've gone through the gift of teaching. We've gone through the gift of exhortation. And we've gone through the gifts, the spiritual gifts of words of wisdom and words of knowledge. And some of those are a little scary to some people and not something that people are like, oh yeah, I want that one. But the gift of helping, the gift of helps, the gift of servant, we are blessed as a congregation to have a bunch of helpers and servants. And quite frankly, without helpers and servants, there would be no church, right? So we're going to jump into this, and it's going to be good. So who here says, I have the gift of helping, the gift of servant, that's your gift? Right. Very good. A lot of people. That's awesome. So, and remember, as we go through this, there are people who, when you think of a need, that person comes to mind, right? And you're like, oh, I can call on them and they'll help me. They'll drop whatever they're doing and they'll come here, right? And that is someone with the gift of helps. They have the gift empowered by the Holy Spirit to serve. As opposed, it doesn't give everyone else a pass. Everyone else just has to work at it a little harder, right? Remember Barnabas? We talked about Barnabas. He was so much an exhorter that the apostles changed his name to Barnabas because that's what Barnabas meant. Now, it doesn't mean that others shouldn't exhort people, but it's not who they are. It's not who the Holy Spirit has made them become. They have to work at it a little harder, right? So if you don't have the gift of helping or being a servant, sorry, you're not off the hook. It just means you have to work at it a little bit harder. You have to make a conscious effort to think, oh, that person's on the ground crawling. I should be the one, because there's nobody else, I should go help them up off the ground, right? So, and I was thinking how sad it is to have a gift and either not use it, or even worse, use it for evil, right? Because sometimes people have a gift that's been given to them and they use it not for the intention that God had, but they take that gift and they pervert it and they make it self-serving to themselves and to other things. So we have to be careful and cautious with the gifts that God has given us. Amen. So our memory verse for today is Mark 10, 43 and through 45. It says, not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great amongst you must be your servant. And those and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. That's a pretty good verse. I hope you guys like really studied that and meditated on that this week as you were doing the devotions and stuff. We talk about all the time in the culture, like who's the greatest, right? And Jesus said, the greatest amongst you are the ones that serve the most. Amen? Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for your son, Jesus, that came and was the perfect example of a servant to us, God. I thank you that you've called each and every person here to be a servant, to serve people, to serve those that you love as we serve you. God, I just pray that you would open our eyes this morning, that we could see wonderful things out of your word, that you would just meet us where we are and show us where we can do better at serving your church and the lost. In Jesus' name, amen. So, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27 says, now you are the body of Christ. I think this verse will sound familiar because I think we've gone over it every week for the last month or so. For you are the body of Christ. Each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in this church first apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, then gifts of healing and helping, of guidance and of different kinds of tongues. And I love this picture here because it shows us exactly where we are, right? Because as humans, sometimes we have a tendency to kind of puff ourselves up. And here it's saying, you are just a little tiny piece of my body. Don't be confused. You are very, very important, right? Has anyone tried to live without, you know, a lung? It's hard, right? You can do it, but it's very difficult. We can try to be the body of Christ, but if we don't have every person doing their part, it makes it really difficult on the other parts of the body. Because if the heart tried to do the job of the lung, that's not a good example. If the foot tried to do the job of the hand, it can be done, right? Especially if you have feet like mine, because we can pick things up with our toes and stuff. Amy loves that. It can be done, but it's not exactly easy, and it's not the way that God intended you to pick things up, right? It's convenient sometimes, but not the way that God intended. So I love this picture. You are not the body of Christ individually. I am not the body of Christ. But together, we become the earthly body of our Heavenly Father who wants to reach so many people here on the earth. Right? I just love that. I love it. So this is why we are warned not to forsake fellowshipping together, right? This is why we don't do church on our own. Like we, as the body, we are called brothers and sisters. We are a family. You'll hear me talk often about doing life together, right? I love doing life with my family. That's y'all. I love doing life with you. That's why we're trying so hard to do this church in our homes after Sunday morning service, right? It's just very, really cool to do, to be the body, to serve each other with each other. So that's our jobs, and it's our job together when we come together and do it. So I have a great example of this working, this functioning here in this body. I don't know if you remember 2 weeks ago when I was preaching. As I was preaching, God showed me something and I shared it as I was. I didn't tell you, oh, God just showed me this, but that's what happened. And I said, God is going to send people through those doors and it is up to us to take care of them. It's up to us to tell them about Jesus, and we need to love them even if they're unlovable. Even if the world says, you know what, they're of no value, we are to love them like Christ loved them. That was Sunday, right? So this is a perfect example. Sunday, that happened. I spoke that word. And then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday happened. And I never thought about it again until Friday. Friday, we were worshiping in youth group. And for those of AJ very often communicates with people up on stage while he's leading worship. So it wasn't, this was what happened. So I'm AJ. I've got a pick in the corner of my mouth. I'm sitting here like this. I'm doing this, and he starts going like this. And I'm just worshiping, and I'm like, he's got a crick in his neck. What's going on? And then I realize he's trying to communicate to me. He's saying, hey, there's someone at the back door, and they need you. Luckily, Terry was there. So I look back, and Terry goes to the back, and she's speaking with someone, and I could tell that she needed me. So I went back, and just like God said, he sent someone through that door who needed Jesus. We're just trying to do our thing, right? We're just trying to worship God, be his body. We're just trying to worship him as a youth group, and God sends someone through. And she walks in, and I was like, hey, can I help you? And she was like, and she starts crying. And she's like, I just want to sit here and listen. Can I just sit here and listen to the worship? It sounds so good, and I just need a place to sit. 2 weeks out of rehab, homeless, on the street, raining, just wants to walk through our church door and sit in the presence, she doesn't know it, of Jesus, her Savior, and be ministered to. So what do I say? Come on in. I said, do you need a hug? And she's like, yes. And I wrapped my arms around her. I gave her a hug. She starts sobbing. She was like, I knew this was the right place. She goes, I can't tell you how many times people have turned me away. People have said, whatever. And I was like, oh, honey, Jesus will never, ever turn you away. But I'm in youth group. I'm leading. I'm supposed to be doing this thing. So I'm like, okay, what can we get you? Luckily, you know what happens Fridays at 8:30 here? Prayer meeting, right? So I'm like, perfect. I said, I'm going to go. She needed to use the bathroom also. So I was like, listen, let me take you to the bathroom. So I get right there. Abby, who's right here, she sees what's going on. She's like, okay, we're going to need to do another song because Dennis is leaving. So she gets that taken care of. I go back. I show her the bathroom. Just at the moment, Precious drives in. Rodney's already here in the room. And I walk outside, and I was like, Precious, here's the situation. There's this lady. She just came through. I know nothing about her. Her name is, and she needs Jesus. And you're here. So perfect. As I walk, she's like, okay, I'm on my way. I walk over, and Bethany comes in for the prayer meeting. I say, hey, Aunt Bethany, here's the situation, blah, blah, blah. I'm going back to youth group. I'll be back in around 10 after 9, and we'll be fine. So I come here. We have youth group as normal. It literally took 2 minutes to orchestrate all of that. After, we went in there, and then we just talked, and we ministered to her. She found Jesus. She was broken. She talked to Jesus like he was her friend and her father. And then in the end, she made him her Savior. She made a commitment. We prayed together, and it was obvious to people that she needed a place to stay that night. Kids were giving money so we could put her up in a hotel. It was just the most beautiful thing you've ever seen or heard. That happened in this body, guys. Like, we together are the body of Christ. We together, that Friday, we were the body of Christ functioning exactly the way that he wanted us to come together. It was so, so beautiful. That's why I had to share it with you, because it was you. I mean, Karen was there. I mean, it was just, it was much better than my computer that's not working. Okay. Yeah, so that was good. Helpers and servers are integral to the function of the church, right? Without them, I dare say the church would still be the church, but it would not be anything like we see it here today, right? It is just, it would not be the way that God intended it. It wouldn't be the way that Jesus described it in the Bible. The church would be, I don't even know what it would be without servants. But do we have servants here, right? We know that. Most of the time, servants like to just do their thing kind of behind the scenes, right? If you come here 7 o'clock in the morning, you'll see Ken Smith doing his thing. You know, Saturdays, you'll see Jackie and Jeannie out doing their thing. It's like they do their things. They don't want to lead anything. They just they want someone else to lead, and they want to be a part of the mission and be like, okay, this is my part. I'm the hand in this situation. I'm the weed whacker in this situation. I'm whatever. They find the need and they do it, and they just want to be in peace, right? So they want to also, not always, it's really, sometimes they want to be recognized. Sometimes they are just like, listen, just pretend I don't even exist. Don't publicly, you know, acknowledge me. But if you see someone meeting a need, if you see someone serving, just be like, hey, I really appreciate that. I see you. I see what you do, and I appreciate that. That means more than saying, hey, I appreciate that. Here's $100. Most of the time, a little gratitude is worth more than money to them, right? So just keep an eye on that. So tell me right now, who do you see serving here in this body? We already said Jackie, right? We said Jeannie. We said Ken. You know, Davey, Diane, Rodney. I could just name every, Justin, Heather, Lennon, Abby, and Lucy's not even here. Oh, there she is. And Lucy. You know, they are servants, right? I mean, precious. Dick and Peg. I mean, how many years have you served this body as an elder?
Long time.
30, 40? I mean, a long, long, long time. I mean, there are servants. You look around, our body is blessed with servants, right? Terry, Adam. I mean, I could go on and on. Adam, wherever. Oh, there he is right there. Ken and Suzanne. Suzanne Smith. She was my right-hand helper. I mean, we would go all the conferences together. I remember the first time I was reminded this morning as I drove my mom to church, and my mom freaks out a little bit. I said, I'm good for her because it brings a sort of peace to her and everything. But she's like freaking out, and I remember I was driving the big van, that big green van we had, and we get up to Saratoga at the hotel, and I just whip it in, and I back trailers up all the time. I can drive. So I back this 15-passenger van, and Suzanne is like, ah! She's like, I can't believe you just did that. I was like, did what? I thought I'd, like, you know, run over some kids or something. She's like, you didn't hit anything. I was like, was I supposed to? I put her through a lot. So, the whole worship team, right? I mean, AJ and Isa, like Daniel, Jeremy, I mean, all of these, Perry Lee. I mean, she comes back from Ghana and she's like instantly here to serve and lead worship and stuff. And I just love, we are blessed with servants here in this church. So, we're going to look at some examples of servants that we see in the Bible. That's a good place to go, right? So, Romans 16:1. This is Paul talking. He says, I commend to you our sisters. See, this is Paul recognizing how important servants are, how important helpers are, and he wanted to recognize them and give them honor. Verse 1, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a deacon in the church in Centuria. Most translations translate this word deacon as servant, right? It's diakonia. It means servant leader. She was a leader in the church, and she served the body well. Paul says, good job, Phoebe. Verse 2, I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of his people and to give her any help that she might need from you, for she has been a benefactor for many, including me. He says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my co-workers in Christ Jesus. They risked their lives for me. But not just for me, but for all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Any churches of the Gentiles here? Yeah. We're grateful for Priscilla and Aquila. Greet also the church that meets at their house. Greet my dear friend Epaphroditus, who was the first convert to Christ in Asia. Greet Mary, who worked very hard for you. Greet Ampliatus, my dear friend in the Lord. Urbanus, a co-worker in Christ. Co-worker, one that helped in Christ. Greet Apelles, whose fidelity to Christ has stood the test. Greet the household of Narcissus, who was in the Lord. Greet Typhania, and this is verse 12. Those women who worked hard in the Lord. Sometimes church is hard work, right? Tuesday, well, during band practice, was it hard work, Abby? We could not get the iPads working, and it was very, very frustrating. And but I sent an iPad home with Abby and with Issa, and I was like, listen, these just have to get together. I don't care. Erase everything. Do whatever we need to do. And I think it was Thursday when we finally got them all where they could talk. The iPads could talk together and stuff. So sometimes church is hard work. They worked hard in the Lord. So this is Paul giving gratitude to these hard workers, right? That's what we tried to do this morning, is just to thank you guys all for your hard work. Let's go to Philippians 4:14. This is Paul writing to the church of Philippi. He says, yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except for you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts, what I desire more is to be credited to your account. I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am ample supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts that you sent. They are a fragrant offering, a sacrifice that is acceptable, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all of your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Isn't that just that's such a special thanking of them? He was like, they recognized that he had a need, and they said, hey, church, we've got to help him. They got their stuff together, and they sent it. I remember when Amy and I were in Mexico decades ago. We went down to minister to the poor, right? And when we were there, they took up an offering for the poor. And I remember sitting there. I was probably 16. No, whatever. And I remember thinking, hang on. You are the poor. How can you take up an offering for the poor? If you're the poor, there are people poorer than you? It just blew my mind as they were taking up this offering. And they filled a basket. It had to be this big. It was filled with stuff that the poor were giving to the poor. They saw a need, and they were filling it. And I was so humbled. I was put to shame. I was like, oh my gosh. Like, I was like blown away how these people, in their situation, they saw the needs of others, and they met it. It was so cool. When we help people, it says that our help is an offering to God. We're not doing it for the people. We're doing it for God to the people, right? And it says that the offering is an acceptable gift that's pleasing to Him. Amen? When you help somebody, it's an acceptable and pleasing gift to our Lord and Savior. In Acts, we read about one of the lesser-known disciples who met needs all over her town, right? She would see a need in her town, and she would meet it. Let's go to Acts 9:36. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha. In Greek, her name is Dorcas. Wonder why they called her Tabitha? She was always... That was not nice if someone's name is Dorcas. Caleb, is your middle name Dorcas? No. So she was always doing good and helping the poor. It doesn't say sometimes she helped the poor. See, she had the gift of helping. She had the gift from the Holy Spirit to serve. So it was who she was. She was always looking for the poor to help out. Verse 37, about that time, she became sick and died. Everyone say, oh, poor Tabitha. And her body was washed and placed in the upper room. Now, she wasn't just a little dead at this point, right? Like, they had washed her body. They didn't have hot water. So if she was faking her death, when they washed her body with the cold water, it's very much evident that she would have been alive at that point. But she was very dead at this point, and they placed her in the upper room where people could mourn for her and stuff like that. Lydda was near Joppa in location, so when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, please come at once. Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken to the upper room. All the widows stood around him, crying and showing him robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. So it was kind of like calling hours. They were around, they were crying, they were mourning. They were like, oh, remember when she made this for me? It was my 50th wedding anniversary, and she made this for me. And they were all comparing the gifts that they had gotten, all the help that they had gotten from her, and they're crying and they're mourning. And what's the first thing that Peter does? And this is super important. If you're going to raise someone from the dead, it's very important that you get all deniers out. If you have people whose faith is not where it needs to be to raise someone from the dead, it's important to say, come over here, honey. Take your little cloak and your blanket that Dorcas made for you and get out. We need to prepare this area for dead raising, right? So Peter got rid of all the faith that wasn't where it needed to be. And let's continue in verse 40. Peter sent them all out of the room. Then he got down on his knees and he prayed. Turning towards the dead woman, he said, a very, very complex prayer. Very complex. Remember this if you ever want to raise someone from the dead. He said, Tabitha, get up. She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Then he called for the believers, especially the widows that were just in there crying, saying, oh, too bad Tabitha left us. He called for them, and he presented her to them, not dead, but alive. This became known all over Joppa, can you imagine? It probably was not very hard to make converts that week, right? Like, remember her? She was the dead one. We wheeled through the town, taking her to the upper room. Peter came, said, hey, God's not done with you. Chop, chop, get up. And she stood up. And many people believed in the Lord after that. That's good stuff. So Jesus told us throughout the Bible to be servants, right? Let's go to Luke 10:25. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? It's very important to know in this example, he was not saying, I just got to figure this out. What do I have to do to get eternal life? He was trying to test Jesus. He was trying to prove Jesus wrong here. And Jesus says, you must do what is written in the law, he replied. And Jesus said, how do you read it? He answered, love your Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. It's very important that loving your neighbor as yourself, because when you have a need, do you withhold that need from yourself? No. If you're standing at the sink and you're thirsty, you get yourself some water, right? You don't withhold needs from yourself when you have the ability to take care of them, right? Love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus answered, you have answered correctly. Jesus replied, do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, went away, leaving him half dead. He was better off than Tabitha, right? He was only half dead. Tabitha, she was totally dead. A priest happened to be going by the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed on the other side. This is a pretty big guy in God's army, right? He's a priest, and he passed by the other side. And then it says a Levite was coming next, and the Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, he passed on the other side also. So you've got leaders in the church seeing a need and saying, ooh, that dude's almost dead. I don't want to touch that. And the leaders went by. See, it doesn't matter in God's church what your title is. God doesn't care what your title is. He cares what your heart is, right? And then 33, but a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and he bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, healing. And then he brought him to the inn and took care of him. He put him on his own donkey. He was riding the donkey. He was riding in the car. And he said, yo, you need this more than me. And he walked beside the donkey as he brought the almost dead man to the inn. And he took him to the inn to take care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and he gave it to the innkeeper. And he said, hey, this should be enough. If it's not enough to tend to his wounds, to make him better, when I come back, I'm good for the rest of it. Whatever expenses you may have. Verse 36, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hand of robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. And Jesus said, just like he's saying to all of us today, go and do likewise. Go and do likewise. He doesn't say go if you have the gift of helps. Go if you have the gift of servant. Go and do likewise and let me transform your community. Let me transform your home. Let me transform your neighbors, your coworkers, your workplace, the government. Do what I say. Let me transform people around you. Jesus showed us that we should be servants, and then he showed us why right here, why he came. Mark 10:35. Then James and John, they were brothers, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. They said, teacher, we want you to do whatever we ask. Now, has anybody ever had someone come up to them and say, yes or no? Whatever. You never answer until you know the question first, right? Will you do whatever I ask, Jesus? Jesus is not dumb. He's like, well, that depends. Jesus replied, let one of you sit at your right hand and the other at your left hand in glory. You don't know what you're asking, Jesus said. Can you drink the cup that I drink or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They answered, "We can." Jesus said to them, "You will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit at my right or my left hand, that's not even for me to grant. These places belong to those whom they have been prepared." When the 10 heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Rightly so, right? Jesus called them together and he said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles, they lord it over them. And their high officials exercise authority over them. They want to be in charge. They want to get their way. They dictate things. They said, I'm the leader. I'm the ruler. You'll do what I say," right? That's kind of how I parented Caleb. "You will do this because I'm the boss." I learned a lot. "Not so with you," it says in verse 43. "Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus is saying, I had it all. I could have come throwing things aside, getting my way, but that's not what I did. I wanted to serve so you could see how I wanted you to lead, right? We are to lead as Jesus led. Philippians 2, verse 1 says, "Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete to be like-minded." See, this is saying we can have the mind of Christ. We can be like-minded with Jesus. Having the same love. Verse 2 says, "Then make my joy complete and be like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition." When you're serving, remember, if you don't have love, when you're exercising these gifts that the Holy Spirit gives you, what is it? It's just annoying, right? It's like nails on a chalkboard. It's like clashing cymbals. If you're doing the gift that God has given you for the wrong motives, it's just annoying. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. Can you imagine if we as a body walk through town, walk through our daily lives, walk through our jobs, valuing people above ourselves, right? If we go to school and we put people on a pedestal above us, and let God transform them. Verse 4, not looking at your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Now, it's important to know that this reality is not someday in the sweet by and by when you get to heaven and you're with Jesus, right? This is saying that we can have the same mindset of Jesus right now. And how do we have that? Through the power of the Holy Spirit, right? Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can walk and talk and help and serve having the same mindset that Jesus had. Verse 6 says, "Who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage." Love this translation. This is the NIV. King James says it wasn't something that could be grasped, right? And I never liked that. Because could Jesus have grasped? Could he have taken? Could he have grasped that? Yeah, he had it. He possessed it. It was his. He had every right to it. He was God. He could have taken it. But here it says he didn't use it to his advantage. Rather, verse 7, rather he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Jesus, the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, didn't say, okay, I've arrived, I'm here, we're going to take this. You do this, you do this, you do this, you do this. He said, okay, I'm here. What can I do for you? How did Jesus minister to people most of the time in the Bible? First thing he did was met their needs, right? First thing, he met their needs, and once their needs were met, they realized, oh, he cares about us. He has what we need. We are told by Jesus to be like him. And do you know what happens when we have the same mind as Christ? When we humbly serve others through while we're serving God? Verse 11 says, and every tongue acknowledged that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's the reason we serve. We serve because Jesus says to serve. But when we serve with the right motives, when we serve humbly, when we serve for the right reasons, when we serve God and his people, it says that every tongue will acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Lord. One last example of Jesus serving his body. Anyone have any guesses? Anyone else? Yes? That's a good one. When Jesus, I'll just read it. John 13, verse 1. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave the world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, that's us, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. He knew that his mission on earth was complete. It was done. So he got up from the meal, he took off his outer clothing, and he wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter. I love Simon Peter. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, Lord, you are not washing my feet, okay? Like, my feet are dirty, they're stinky, I'm not worthy. You, my Lord, you're not gonna wash my feet. Jesus says, you don't realize now what I'm doing for you. But later, you will understand. No, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. And miraculously, his mind has changed. And he's like, then Lord, Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but wash my hands and my legs, my body, my arms, wash it all. Jesus answered, those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean. Though not every one of you. He's talking to his disciples, and he says, you're clean, but not all of you are clean. For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. Do you know what I love about this here? He acknowledges that Judas, he knows Judas is going to betray him. He acknowledges that he is not clean because he has been taken over by the devil to do this. It was his plan, but Judas was working for the devil at this point. Jesus says, I know you're not clean, but here, Judas, let me wash your feet. And he bent down and he washes Judas' feet also. Just like he'd wash everyone's feet here. Even though we're not clean, Jesus washes them and makes you clean, right? Verse 12 says, when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to the place. Do you understand what I have done to you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for I am what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them, to the glory of God the Father. Can you imagine Jesus, the Son of God, your Savior? You know he's come to save you. He's going to give his life up for you. And he bends down and he washes your feet. That's usually the job of the lowest of the low, right? The lowest servant in the house. See, back then they didn't have roads. They didn't have shoes. They wore sandals on dirt roads. So when a guest would come to your house, the master would typically have the servant wash their feet. The master was showing his guests that he honored them, that he was grateful for them coming. He was showing them that they had value to them. That's why Jesus, our master, says, hey, let me wash your feet. Their feet would be a mess from the journey walking there. And there is Jesus, humbly, washing his honored guest's feet. Now, some words of caution to those that have the gift of helps and gifts of servant. You need to constantly remember who you're doing it for, right? Because if you set out to help people, people will always let you down, right? People, you will do things and you'll be like, for crying out loud, you didn't even say thank you, right? Or sometimes you'll see things, needs that need to be met, and you're going crazy working here. Other servers, other helpers are working all over the place, and then you got someone sitting down. And it's natural to be like, for crying out loud, why don't they just get up and help out, right? But that's not for us to judge. They might be doing the gift that the Holy Spirit has given them, and you don't even see it. So remember who you're doing it for, and you'll be much happier. I remember a situation where I served over and over and over in this one little spot. Never received any gratitude, never received help, never received money for the things that I was supplying. And I was so happy to do it. Only because every time I went there, I was like, God, I know that you've called me to this. I know that this is your plan. This is your desire. This is what you have. And I am so grateful to have the opportunity to serve your people. Every time I went there, I was blessed in serving because that was my attitude. I just heard a study. You cannot be grateful for something at the same time anxious about something. They are polar opposites. If you're struggling with anxiety, start thinking about things to be grateful for. Start thinking about things that you are grateful for, because gratefulness drives away anxiety. They cannot function in the same capacity, in the same place. So I was going into that situation grateful to be serving, and I never once, if it was my flesh, I'd have been like, y'all can make your own stinking waffles, I'm done. But I wouldn't say that to God, right? I was like, thanks, God. We got this. We got this. Me and God. So, constantly remember you're helping and serving Jesus, not people, right? When we serve people for Jesus, he rewards us. We don't look for the people to reward us. He takes care of us. We cannot seek the approval from people, right? God approves. It says, when you humbly do it, God receives that as an offering, and he approves of it. And God's approval is always better than people's approval, right? Let's go to Luke verse 10 as far as the caution. Luke chapter 10, verse 38 says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened up her home for him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the feet of Jesus listening to what he said. Those words, sat at the feet of, that is implying that she was a disciple. She was studying under her master. Back in that day, the men typically would study under a rabbi. They would study at the feet. They would sit at the feet of their rabbi, learning what to do. This is implying that Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus, studying under him, learning everything she could to become just like him. So Martha opened up her home to him, and Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha, she was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all this work by myself? Like, I opened up my house to you. You could come here. You could minister. But there's work that needs to be done, and my stinking sister is just sitting in here at your feet. And you know it because she's in front of you, for crying out loud. Tell her to come help me with the biscuits. She came to him and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Can you imagine? Can you just imagine telling the Son of God what to do? I think the mother of Mary was a little cautious at times, right? Like, oh, come on. Can you please just turn the water to wine? But you've got Martha here saying, tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Martha's serving like crazy. She's doing what she is empowered to do by the Holy Spirit. But Jesus says, Mary has chosen what is better. Sometimes, church, we can focus too much on our spiritual gift and not enough on the one that's given you the spiritual gift. Sometimes we can focus too much on what we deem as our calling, when what is our most important calling? Your number one calling in this world is to seek Jesus. Put him first in everything you do. Get to know the Father on an intimate level. Your calling is to know Jesus so you can be like Jesus, right? Because this really cool thing happens when you really get to know God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. When you really get to know them, your mission that he has for you, it just comes out. And it becomes who you are. You no longer have to think about it. You don't have to say, oh, I should be doing this. You just naturally look for opportunities to do these things. It just becomes who you are. When that lady walked through that door, everybody involved, it just happened like it was natural for them. You know why? Because it says you can have the mind of Jesus. It says that you don't have to look for one day when everything aligns quite the way it should. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, which means through the power of the Holy Spirit, you can have the mind of Christ. And when you have the mind of Christ, you function like Jesus Christ, right? And last Friday, whatever it was, two Fridays ago, we saw a life transformed by Jesus because his body worked together just like it should. The more you get to know the Father and Jesus, the more your life aligns with what he has for you to do. See, we believe here that everyone has a purpose, something special that only you can fulfill. We want to help you walk out that role. We want to help you function in the way that Jesus wants you to function, to bring glory to the Father and to transform our community. Amen. God, I thank you for your love. I thank you for your love for all people. I just thank you that you've called us to serve. God, that you haven't given us a way out that we can just tell people what to do, God, but through your son's example that we can become servants. And when we serve people, we can trust that you will do your part and change them, God. I just pray for opportunities to serve those that you love, those that you want to be here, God. And I just pray as we walk throughout this week that you would keep our eyes open to the needs of those around us. In Jesus' name, amen.